He hesitated a little longer, then he stood up. He took a step. I couldn't move. There was nothing but a yellow flash close to his ankle. He remained motionless for an instant. He didn't cry out. He fell gently, the way a tree falls. There wasn't even a sound because of the sand. Chapter 27. And now, of course, it's been 6 years already. I've never told this story before. The friends who saw me again were very glad to see me alive. I was sad, but I told them, it's fatigue. Now I'm somewhat consoled. That is, not entirely. But I know he did get back to his planet, because at daybreak, I didn't find his body. It wasn't such a heavy body. And at night, I love listening to the stars. It's like 500 million little bells. But something extraordinary has happened. When I drew that muzzle for the little prince, I forgot to put in the leather strap. He could never have fastened it on his sheep. And then I wonder, what's happened there on his planet? Maybe the sheep has eaten the flower. Sometimes I tell myself, of course not. The little prince puts his flower under glass, and he keeps close watch over his sheep. Then I'm happy, and all the stars laugh sweetly. Sometimes I tell myself, anyone might be distracted once in a while, and that's all it takes. One night he forgot to put her under glass, or else the sheep got out without making any noise during the night. Then the bells are all changed into tears. It's all a great mystery. For you, who love the little prince too. As for me, nothing in the universe can be the same if somewhere, no one knows where, a sheep we never saw has or has not eaten a rose. Look up at the sky. Ask yourself, has the sheep eaten the flower or not? And you'll see how everything changes. And no grown-up will ever understand how such a thing could be so important. For me, this is the loveliest and the saddest landscape in the world. It's the same landscape as the one on the preceding page. But I've drawn it one more time, in order to be sure you see it clearly. It's here that the little prince appeared on Earth, then disappeared. Look at this landscape carefully, to be sure of recognizing it, if you should travel to Africa someday, in the desert. And if you happen to pass by here, I beg you not to hurry past. Wait a little, just under the star. Then, if a child comes to you, if he laughs, if he has golden hair, if he doesn't answer your questions, you'll know who he is. If this should happen, be kind. Don't let me go on being so sad. Send word immediately that he's come back. Belinda Audio hopes you enjoyed the reading of The Little Prince, written and illustrated by Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, translated by Richard Howard, and read by Humphrey Bower. Translator's note. In April 1943, Le Petit Prince was published in New York. A year before, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry was shot down over the Mediterranean by by German reconnaissance planes. The English translation, by Catherine Woods, was copyrighted the same year, and the work was dedicated in that translation to the child who became Léon Vert. All grown-ups were once children, although few of them remember it. As in the case of contemporaries like Mann and Gide, the latter a great admirer of Saint-Exupéry, new versions of canonical translations raise questions, or at least suspicions, of Les Majestés. A second translator into English of The Little Prince accepts the responsibility of such an imputation, for it must be acknowledged that all translations date. Certain works never do. A new version of a work 57 years old is entitled, and indeed is obliged, to persist further in the letter of that work. Each decade has its circumlocutions, its compliances. The translator seeks these out, as we see in Ms. Wood's pioneer endeavors, falls back on period makeshifts, rather than confronting the often radical outrage of what the author, in his incomparable originality, ventures to say. The translator, it is seen in the fullness of time, so rarely ventures in this fashion, but rather falls back, as I say. It is the peculiar privilege of the next translator, in his own day and age, to sally forth, to be inordinate, instead of placating or merely plausible. Time reveals all translation to be paraphrase, and it is in the longing for a standard version of a beloved work that we must begin again, we translators, that we must overtake one another. Richard Howard, June 2000. For further information about the Belinda audio range, please visit our website, www.belinda.com. If you liked this audiobook, please tell a friend.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.